Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just after 5 o'clock, we're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. We appreciate that you are. We just gave away a couple tickets to the Wizards opening night game on Friday against the Pacers. We've got two more tickets, another pair, that could be yours at the end of this hour, about 50 minutes from right now. So, you want to win them? Cool. Listen, you just got to time it up right. You can win those tickets at the end of the hour. Danny, we're going to get back into the calls on the football team in a second, but I wanted to talk about some quarterback news. And potentially, if it's real, some huge quarterback news in the NFL. It ties into Washington, by the way, in a moment. You'll see why. But let's start with John McClain.
Uh-huh.
Not the guy at
Nakatomi Tower.
Nakatomi Tower in one of the great movies of our time.
Come out to the coast, have a few laughs.
Die Hard. But John McClain, who covers the Texans in Houston, reported that there might be a Deshaun Watson trade happening very soon.
Indeed. So, Texans and Dolphins could have Deshaun Watson deal done this week is the headline in the tweet from John McClain down there in Houston. So that's long kind of been rumored is that the Miami organization, most specifically the owner, have kind of the steamies for Deshaun Watson. Sort of legal woes potentially be damned. Dissatisfaction with Tua, understandable at this point, hasn't shown a whole heck of a lot, has been hurt a bunch. So they are kind of caution to the wind there and going all in, it seems like, on a Deshaun Watson deal that could be done any moment.
So, credit where it's due, he's one of the most plugged-in beat reporters in the country. McClain is a guy, in terms of his beat, the Texans, who gets as much news, breaks as much news, has as much info about what's going on inside that building as any local beat reporter in any market. And he also gets a lot of national news. So when he says something, it's legit. And one of the reasons I thought all along he wasn't getting traded was because all offseason, John kept saying he wasn't going to be. And now he's saying the direct quote is?
In the works this week.
So this sounds like it's happening.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson being traded. Now, I am hedging, and I am really internally debating whether even to bring this next part up, okay? Because I do not know this person and cannot vouch for them. They are a verified media member on Twitter. Their Twitter bio says they are a beat reporter covering the Houston Texans, although I do have to say that there are plenty of people I've seen that are like supposedly beat reporters for the Washington football team that I've never seen at a game or at practice or, you know, have never seen with media access. So you could just claim anything on Twitter. But there's a guy who is apparently a Texans beat reporter with about 1,800 followers who tweeted this. And I don't want anyone to think this is some news that I'm passing off as legitimate. In fact, I'm telling you, we probably shouldn't even be addressing this.
I got other guys that are saying it, too.
Who?
Benjamin Albright. Covers the Broncos. 113,000 followers.
I know Benjamin Albright.
Yep.
He gets some news right. What is he saying?
I think it'd be Tua. I think it'd be Washington for Tua, despite internet rumors of Denver.
Okay, so here's the Cody Davis report, who apparently covers the Texans. In regards to the Texans closing in on a deal that would send Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins, I'm hearing that it could be a three-team deal that would send Tua Tagovailoa to the Washington football team. Now, I'm going to separate that to the side. And then you said Albright said...
He says, I'm trying to pull up the exact tweet because he has follow-ups to it. I think it'd be Washington for Tua despite internet rumors of Denver. So then he responds to his own tweet and he says, Denver is rumored for Tua. And he says one more time, Washington 2, buckle up.
So, a couple things on that. Number one, why are the Dolphins trading Tua right now? Presumably, this is a terrible season. Whether they're going into a rebuild or they're just viewing this as a one-off, you would like a new young quarterback, I would think, to develop this season. Trading him at the deadline wouldn't make a lot of sense. I guess if they're definitively moving on and they're going to draft somebody else and they just have decided they're washing their hands of him.
Yeah, or they think they can get a discount on Deshaun Watson. They're not worried about the legal trouble. I don't know. Because remember, the NFL hasn't suspended anybody.
So the point being, they're going to trade for Watson this week. And then when Watson comes in, you don't need Tua anymore. So you get like a second round pick or whatever you can get for him.
That's the idea.
That's the logic.
Yeah. Or it's part of the currency that they're going to use.
Okay. Here's my next point. No, thank you. Hardest of passes. Not even a little bit. No. No, 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 no. Has anybody watched Tua? Has anybody studied this guy at all or just watched Red Zone a little bit when the Dolphins are on? Uh-uh. This is not what it looks like. He gets hurt all the time. He is small. He takes shots. He doesn't stay on the field. And their offense never moves up and down the field when he's their quarterback. They're better when Ryan Fitzpatrick plays. They're as good or better when Jacoby Brissett plays. No. The only reason you would be trading for Tua is because he was a top five pick. That's it. That's the only reason. He was popular at Alabama, had a hell of a run. I really liked him in college.
Rightfully so. He was amazing.
I was a huge Tua guy, but I thought this guy will be a good pro. Absolutely really like him. He's going to be a very good pro, and the reason why is he's ultra accurate. I don't know that that's carried over the way I anticipated, but he lacks arm strength. No, 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 no for me. And thank you for coming. I'm Randy Jackson on American Idol. That's a no for me, dog. What do they say on Shark Tank that everyone loves to overquote now?
I'm out.
And for that reason, I am out.
And for that reason, I'm out.
You look like you're crow hopping to throw a ball to home plate from the warning track every time you throw a pass farther than 7 yards. And for that reason, I am out. No. I don't know if he's an upgrade over the guys they have.
Not right now.
And I know that the guys they have aren't the guys that can get me where I need to go. Fitz was there last year. He was better, and it wasn't close. He's not even the starter here right now. Now, I know it's because of health, but we're debating whether he'll start when he comes back or not. He's not head and shoulders better than Heinicke. If he's better than Tua, and he's not head and shoulders better than Heinicke, then what does that say about Heinicke versus Tua? I'd say the same thing about Kyle Allen, by the way. And you're giving up what for him? Now, if I'm giving up a 7th-round pick, of course. Bring in another guy that might not be able to play.
Yeah, what's the cutoff who is where it's not worth it for you?
A fifth. I'll throw a fifth at any quarterback who was drafted in the top five. You know what it's not going to take to get a second-year quarterback who was just drafted in the top five? A fifth. You're giving up more picks or better picks than that.
You would think.
No, 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 no. And I hesitate to even talk about this or like take calls or do this topic because I don't even think this is a real thing. Like three teams trades don't. When's the last three-team trade you can remember in the NFL that involved quarterbacks? I remember that stupid rumor that as soon as it came out, I thought it was the dumbest thing I ever heard where Romo would come here in a three-team trade. Do you remember that?
I do now that you mention it, yeah.
I think it was the offseason. It was a few years ago. It was after Dak. It was Ian Rappaport, by the way, which is why it got some credibility. But I think someone just used him and said, hey, throw this out here. And so we did, and then a bunch of people talked about it, and it was never going to happen. And I remember that moment calling, I don't remember if it was Jay Gruden or somebody with the football team, and being like, what is this? And they're like, I've never heard of this. This makes no sense. This is just media fodder. And I'm like, okay, cool. That is what this feels like. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I hope people hear that part of this analysis. But just as an aside, I'd like to get ahead of this and say, no. He's played for not quite a year and a half because he either wasn't good enough to start over Fitz at times or he wasn't healthy enough to do so. I think his best game might have been this past weekend statistically. Threw for 300 yards in London against the Jags.
Against the Jags.
The last time we saw him before this Jacksonville game, he got hurt and he left the game in week two. But before that, he threw for 200 yards with a touchdown and a pick against the Patriots. No, 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 no. And I know you're rooting for this because you just want to see me go crazy.
What was the world by Buster Price? So, I was dead wrong about him, by the way. I would have taken him 2 overall last year because I like...
You would have taken him 2 overall.
Yeah, thank you. I would have done that because I like quarterbacks with great track records at major programs who are accurate and can run around. So he's been hurt. He's been majorly disappointing for the first year and however many months this is. Uninspiring to the point where I've got to go, you know what? I was dead wrong. I thought he would be awesome. I thought he'd hit the ground running. I thought he'd be doing what Justin Herbert is doing. Couldn't have been further from the truth. Now, I don't know what point I would say it's not worth it to take a flyer on a guy that's been hurt on the off chance that maybe he gets right and you can unlock his potential, yada, yada.
But what are you giving up?
Yeah, and that's my point. I can't. The same thing I would have given up for Darnold last year where I go, let me just find out if it really was the Jets stink or if this guy's not any good. And it's a third round pick. Like I would not have D'Ami Brown on my roster to see if Sam Darnold could do it. I'd be fine with that experiment because you're looking for quarterback. It's the most important spot. I'd probably do that. But if you have to start getting...
Would you give up what was given up for Darnold?
What was it? It was a second and a third?
I think so. I'm looking it up to confirm, but that's what's off the top of my head.
But it wasn't the same year, I thought. I thought it was a third and then a future second.
Let me pull it up.
I would do that. But that's, and I wouldn't be happy about it, but I'm going nowhere. I've got no good path to a quarterback. I'm not going to shake one off the magic quarterback tree or hope of a great veteran who's disgruntled ends up coming to me. That's a pipe dream.
Darnold has been traded from the Jets to the Panthers in exchange for a 2021 NFL draft 6th-round pick. Plus second and fourth round selections next year. So a 6, a 2,
yeah,
and a 4.
I'd do that.
For Tua?
Yeah. He's not good, but maybe he might. Maybe he might be. He's still young. He's still very young, and he's been hurt a bunch. I'm not saying he's good, but it's worth a shot at the most important position to keep trying. There's not one available this year. There's no veteran available.
Just bringing in quarterbacks is not a good idea.
It's 100% a good idea. You don't have one, try. Try immediately. Be desperate.
They should bring in good ones. We've seen this guy play. He's
good
not good.
Good ones aren't available. They don't just shake three from this magic quarterback tree.
Don't get a bad one for 3 draft picks.
The future picks are nothing burgers.
A second round pick is always a something burger.
You can absolutely get yourself a second round pick by trading some of your assets that you can't pay because their team is built incorrectly. You could pay Daron Payne for a
crazy idea.
Yeah.
You could not do that, and then you could just have extra second round picks. You could just have, if you don't trade for Tua, who can't play, then you can have the second that you already have and the second that you just got for your asset and have 2 second round picks.
And maybe just never have
a
quarterback.
Maybe you package them together and you go get a first round pick and maybe you can get a quarterback who can actually play.
I'll take that plan too. I don't see an avenue for a quarterback. I don't see one. So I'm going to keep throwing darts at things until I hit one. I'm not giving up a first, a future first, any first in the next 10 years for him. I'd reluctantly maybe do a future 2 and a 4, but I wouldn't be happy about it. To me, it's like third round, I'll throw a dart at the board.
You would do the Darnold deal. You would do a 2, a 4, and a 6 for Tua. And I'm imploring and begging you not to do that.
Yeah,
not
I would do that.
I'm acting like you're the GM now. Like, please, Danny, don't do it. Please. You've watched this guy.
Yeah, he's not good. I'm not saying he's good. Hopefully you're hearing what I'm saying. I was really wrong. I'm totally disappointed.
No, no.
I'm taking a flyer that doesn't cost
that
me very much.
He could be good here?
Yeah. Maybe.
Rosen, you know, that flyer was out there. I was wrong about that. I said someone should bring this guy
Same
in.
Same here. I was wrong about
He's
that, too.
He's still floating around. Darnold, he has crashed back down to earth the last couple
He's
weeks.
Been awful
now, I don't know what he is or what he isn't yet. It's still early.
Mm-hmm.
But this second right now, we are trending toward... Sam Darnold is not bad because he was a Jet. Sam Darnold is just not very good.
Sam Darnold's broken and bad, yeah.
There's not a great track record of, hey, this guy looked terrible for a couple of years with this team, so let's trade him here, and they're going to be good elsewhere.
Totally true. Totally true. I'm starving in the desert. I'm trying to order food. That's all this is for me.
Yeah, but starvation makes you a bad shopper.
It makes you desperate. I'm desperate. I need everyone to be as desperate as me at all times. Every second they don't have a quarterback of the future is a waste of a second.
Okay.
So try to get one.
But bringing in more and more quarterbacks who are number 2/bad number 1s is not going to help.
It's not likely that it works out.
Keep your assets for when you can, I don't know, try to trade for a guy who's proven and good and or you don't know is bad yet, i.e. the draft.
Yeah.
When you trade a 2, a 4, and a 6 for Tua, You now have to play Tua for next year. You now have to see if he's good. That's a waste of time. You're now going into year four of Rivera before you have a real quarterback. And you're giving up assets that you could potentially use to get an adult quarterback who might be good.
These real good ones don't come available. Unless.
So you're just going to get a bad one?
No. I'm being realistic. This pipe dream of Derek Carr shaking loose or Aaron Rodgers shaking loose.
It happens a lot of offseason.
Yeah, it'll never happen here.
It just happened with Matt Stafford this offseason.
Sure, and there's a reason he said no to us. We're not getting one the regular way.
He didn't say no to anybody. It was a trade, and the Lions said no because there was one team that happened to have the lethal bullet of we'll throw in another one to get rid of this contract. Or else he'd be in Washington
right now. And you have to take
right
Jared Goff. Stafford didn't want to come here. I thought that was something we knew.
And
he chose
what we
LA.
Know what we
well,
don't.
He chose LA.
There is no choice. This isn't baseball with 10-5. He
Wait,
got
they
traded.
Did him a favor.
I don't know. He got traded because they offered a better deal. If Washington offered a better deal, he'd be quarterbacking this Sunday at Lambeau.
Well, I don't know the deal was better necessarily where you had to give up more and take Jared Goff's dumb contract.
I think two number ones was better than one number one.
Well, that two number ones was so they could foist Jared Goff on them.
Correct.
Yeah. So is that better?
Yes.
I don't know.
I think first round picks.
I think a number one and a third rounder not having Jared Goff is pretty.
You got
pretty
a
equal.
Number one and a third rounder.
Yeah.
And then another number one. And a quarterback, by the way, that while you hate Jared Goff and I don't think he's very good, for the next couple of years as they just are getting by, they're perfectly fine trotting out there. But they got the exact same deal plus a first rounder. That's a better deal.
Okay. I think it's about the same, but I don't think that's the point. Here's the point. It doesn't happen. The magical quarterback that's veteran that's going to come here and save everything won't happen. There's a reason it hasn't happened in 30 years. There's a reason the best we can do is Alex Smith in the trade market because Bruce Allen was a boob. Drafting one is great. I'm all in favor. I've been demanding they draft one for three years.
So keep your picks and trade up into the top five.
I'd be fine with that too. But they've shown a reluctance to do that. I don't know that they'll be. It's going to cost way more than that. Look what San Francisco just gave up to move up to three. 3 years worth of drafts. Do you want to go all in like that again? This to me is saying it's probably not going to happen. I'm with you. It's not likely.
It's not a real thing. I don't believe for a second it's a real thing. I don't think they're trading for Tua. I don't think there's a three-team trade. I think Watson goes to Miami.
That's the other part of this. It's so frustrating.
But we can continue to argue about it in the meantime. Absolutely not on Tua. No. No, thank you. And secondly, this is a different debate and conversation you and I can have, but this idea that because they don't have a quarterback, they just need to trade picks for one that we pretty much know is bad is a terrible, terrible business model. It's all it will do is get you further away from the possibility of ever getting this thing correct. You're just driving down a street that is a dead end. And while you're doing it, you're throwing money out the window going, we may not need this. No. I don't even want to take calls in this because I think this is a dumb thing that isn't going to happen. But it is currently a rumor from actual NFL reporters. So we might as well throw out there this idea of Tua being on the trade block. They don't have a quarterback. Supposedly the Dolphins are going to get Deshaun Watson this week. And Washington is being linked to Tua. I'm cringing as I say this.
I kind of hope it happens.
800-636-1067. I'm not even cringing about the Tua part. I'm cringing about taking calls on this because I think this is just dumb fantasy football fodder in the media. But in the moment, we have to treat it with some modicum of possibility, I guess. G&D on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, here we go. Put your bathing suits on. We're jumping in the deep end. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. You just heard from Byron in the update. So the original report was that Miami and Houston are closing in on a deal for Deshaun Watson possibly this week. If Watson goes to the Dolphins, at that point you would think Tua would be on the trade block. There are multiple people, one locally in Houston, one national, who's actually broken a bunch of WFT news over the years, in Benjamin Albright, saying that Washington would be one of the players to watch out for Tua. Now, I can add, and I should probably tweet this out, I know for a fact that the old scouting department was not high on Tua before the draft.
When you say old scouting department, who do you mean?
Just Kyle Smith's department.
Thank you.
Did not like Tua coming out as a top-of-the-board guy and said as much. What I don't know is what did Ron Rivera think? What did Marty Herney think? What did Martin Mayhew think? I have no idea. I just know that even though at the time the rumor was we all thought they might draft him, having learned since, that was not a thing. They didn't like him that much. But we don't know what the guys that are there think. Ryan Fitzpatrick was substantially better than Tagovailoa was last year in Miami. I don't even know that I'm positive that Fitzpatrick's the best quarterback in Washington right now, but there is no way that you can tell me that Tua is for sure better than Taylor Heinicke, or for sure better than Kyle Allen, or for sure better than the guy that was better than him by heads and shoulders last year every time he got on the field, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So you're just adding another body to a room full of guys that aren't the answer. It's just a redundant thing. The only quality I think you'd be trading for, like when you say do this, give up a 2, a 4, and a 6 for Tua, which I'm shocked that you say that. The only thing that makes anyone think that, I would assume, is just that where he got drafted. And I would have traded for Rosen because of where he got drafted. I would have been wrong. I would have traded for Darnold because of where he got drafted. Now, he was really good first few games, really bad last few games. Who knows what he'll end up doing. But it shouldn't matter anymore. Like, let's use our eyes. We're watching this guy.
Right, he's not good.
You know it and I know it. But how can you say he's not good in one sentence and in the next second sentence say trade a second round pick for him?
Because he's 22 or 23. It's worth a shot.
That he might become good?
Sure. That he might get over this injury bug that's happened where he's had hip reconstruction and all sorts of other stuff. It's not likely. But I know there's a 0% chance of just not getting a quarterback, which is what Ron Rivera has done for 2 years, and a sliver percentage of chance that's worth draft capital to me. That Tua might work out. I wouldn't bet on it working out in a million years. But if you're the Green Bay Packers, don't do this. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, don't do this. If you've been wandering the wasteland for 30 years and should have drafted a quarterback each of the last two seasons and didn't, then I'm more willing to give it a shot, just given where my franchise is at this point. It's not something I'd be excited about doing. I kind of hold my nose doing it. And I would hope that as he gets further away from the hip surgery, as he maybe changes scenery, and maybe you find an offense more skilled to tailored to his skill set, you might have a chance. I'm not saying he's good. I was totally wrong. I thought that guy would be excellent. He's not. Right now, he's bad. Legit bad.
The best example, I can't think of a good analogy, but you're basically saying they don't have enough tickets to get the boombox, so let's just spend all of the tickets that we just got in the arcade on, like, Airheads and, you know, the little, like,
one of those pencil erasers.
Thumbtacks, you know? Yeah, it's just dumb stuff. Like, no, hang on to your assets, and we'll come back tomorrow and we'll get the damn boombox. If we didn't know what Tua was or wasn't, cool. Then let's find out together. I got a pretty good idea of what he is. And I'll be loud wrong if he ends up being really good, I'll be the first one to tell you I really screwed this up.
I'm doing that right now. I'm loud wrong. Oh, God, I was wrong about him.
I don't care about that. That was 3 years ago. What I'm talking about is right now, this second, this guy has stunk. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about whether or not they should invest assets and picks in this dude who for two seasons has not been able to play at all. Hardest of passes for me. Let's go to Andrew in Stafford. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, guys. Appreciate taking the call. Danny, I appreciate your desperation, but Grant, you are 100% right. Real quick, 49 quarterbacks have been drafted in the second round or later since 2016. One of them was Dak Prescott. I would take a 6% chance at Prescott over Tua 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah, I mean,
if it was apples to apples, I'd agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys, right? You got Brady in the sixth, you got Dak in the fourth, you got Cousins in the fourth, you got Wilson in the third.
Most of those guys are Carson Palmer's younger brother and Jabron Hamden.
Sixth rounders.
Yeah.
Those are the sixth round picks. It's just more simple than that for me. I need you to show me something. There's not a great sample of players who have looked like Tua has for this many games into their career and then just flip the switch.
Totally true.
It just doesn't happen that often. Like, you flash pretty quickly. Even Zach Wilson, like, as bad as it's been so far, there's been some ridiculous throws. There's been some huge moments. There's been a win over the Titans where he balled out. You just haven't gotten those from Tua. When he throws the ball, it looks like he's working harder than anyone's ever worked.
It's such a windup right now.
He looks like he is an outfielder in the big leagues with his butt on the padding of the wall to try to get the ball to home plate on a bounce.
Looks like Ricky Henderson in his prime.
When he's throwing a 16-yard dig.
Oh, it's bad.
But let's trade for him? Chris in Centerville, what's up?
Yeah, so Tua is actually a lot better than you guys are giving him credit for. He did flash. What do you mean he didn't flash? He had games last year where he threw for 300 yards multiple times. He's 6-3 as a starter. His rookie year.
Don't do quarterback wins and losses with me.
No offseason. Completed 64% of his passes, 11 touchdowns.
That's because they were all at the line of scrimmage.
He's only got 12 starts. Are you going to give him 17 before you start making these assumptions that he's trash?
He can start all season as far as I'm concerned. If I was the Dolphins, he'd be starting every week until the end of the year.
You said he didn't show any flashes. He had flashes last year against the Buffalo Bills, threw for 361 yards.
Yeah, that's a lot of yards. I got to go back and watch the game because I remember every time I've ever watched him, he hasn't looked like he can do much of anything. I mean, you could throw over 351 yards on 14 screen passes. So I'll watch the game and get back to you on that. But here's what I know. I know that he has played in 13 games, and he has 14 touchdowns and 7 interceptions.
It's been hurt a lot.
He's basically a one-touchdown-per-game guy, which... Hey, Alex, how are you? Welcome back to Washington.
Alex Tagovailoa.
No. When he played last year, their offense got worse. When Fitzpatrick played last year, their offense got better. If you're saying, should they give up on him in Miami? Not right now. They should wait till this offseason.
Because where are you going?
Yeah. And if he's playing better, stick with him. And if he's not, draft someone. But we're not talking about should he get to keep starting. Like, you're like, are you giving up on him right now? I'm not trading for him based on what he's done. You're asking me to trade for this guy? Based on the 12 starts that he has so far, you want me to give up multiple? I'm just picking the Darnold package because I don't know what it would cost. But a 2, a 4, and a 6? No chance. No way. I could get a 2, a 4, and a 6, package it in with a future 1 or something, and move up the board and pick someone in the first round. Come on. Let's go to Chris in Gainesville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, boys. How are you?
What's up, man?
I would hard pass, too. But the one thing that when Grant was talking kind of like hit me with a ton of bricks, thinking about the defense this year, is we are so underperforming that when the free agent class does hit, like, why would you want to come here to first off? But with the defense playing so bad, why would somebody like Carr or Rodgers even consider coming here when they are so bad? Like, it's such a stretch for Tua. You know, tell them no, I'll pass up. But with the defense being so bad, there's no reason for a free agent to even come here. Like, we're not even one piece away. If the defense was playing like they were supposed to, then maybe we would have a chance. But we're even hurting our chances for that now. Hello?
Yeah, no, sorry. I was actually thinking, which is not great for this radio medium.
you won't keep thinking.
Well, I mean, I 100% agree, obviously, with free agency. That's been the Wizards curse forever, right? Where they haven't been good and you can't draw free agents and sort of that's that. But even in trades, and I found the report, it was from Ian Rappaport about, you know, how Matt Stafford basically engineered the trade to LA. And I think that was a huge part of it. And the Detroit front office kind of, you know, responded in that way. And I just, counting on a miracle is awesome. We could just keep holding forever and ever and ever. I guess for me, I know I'm not doing things in a really smart, savvy way. In general, I like to do the analytics and the math and, you know, hold up my, you know, I'm the guy that wanted to trade away the second pick and not take Chase Young and try to take a bunch of guys, assets, and have things work out in process. I throw all of that out the window when it comes to quarterback because I'm so desperate, fully admitting that I'm desperate. And I know going in, this is probably not going to work, but I'm buying a lottery ticket. And that lottery ticket's going to be more expensive for me than it is for a franchise that's had competent leadership, ownership, and a quarterback for an extended period of time.
Cautionary comment. I don't think they're trading for Tua, and I think this is mostly fodder. Having said that, if it's real, and John McClain says it is, that Deshaun Watson's getting traded from Houston to Miami, then Tua is going to be on the block, and Washington's name is going to come up. By the way, I looked up the game that was just referenced, the 350-yard game, and I'm still going to go back and watch it because the claim is that he balled out, right? They lost by 30, so he was in garbage time the entire game. He averaged 6 yards per attempt. He threw the ball 60 times to throw for 361 yards.
60 times?
58 pass attempts. By the way, he completed 59% of his passes in the game, which is 1996 called. They want their percentage back. But 6 yards per attempt in that game. So just the numbers beyond the total yards bear out to me that that was not a efficient performance in any way. But I'll go back because the claim is that he balled out, and I'll watch that in fairness to Tua. 800-636-1067 is the number. Remember, we got Wizards tickets at the end of this hour right here on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. It is officially silly season, I guess. NFL trade deadline a couple weeks away. This all started. John McClain in Houston covers the Texans, says this is going to happen, it looks like. Texans are going to trade Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins. So then everyone says, okay, what's going to happen with Tua? And a couple different reporters, one who I actually have seen get some stories right on a national level, is saying, well, Washington will be in play for Tua Tagovailoa. One suggesting this three-team trade, which I don't believe that for one second. That sounds ridiculous, and it's not even really worth considering that. But it is just getting us thinking about, again, the quarterback position, trying to solve it, and some bigger picture thinking. I could just say, as far as Tua goes, hardest of passes. And we get back to, Danny, a disagreement, really, I guess we've come to now, which is, while we're both desperate to solve quarterback, you're willing to almost just throw anything against the wall to see what sticks.
Yes.
And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I pretty much am. I fully acknowledge it's not likely. And my point is, lots of things are not likely. Just holding out hope that somebody shakes loose from the magic veteran quarterback tree. If guys are really good, they usually don't get to leave. And if guys get to choose where they end up going, they're not coming here. So you've got to end up at the top of the draft. You got to end up at the top of the draft in a year where the quarterbacks are good. And I don't know that either are going to happen. I think Washington's going to screw up and win just a couple games too many. Then you either have to mortgage this precious future that Ron Rivera seems so worried about to trade up a ton like San Francisco did to move up a handful of spots where you have to go all in on a Trey Lance. I'm going to throw stuff at the wall. I'm just willing to try anything at this point to solve the thing that they haven't been able to solve since Joe Theismann broke his leg.
Steve Genevieve, who is on Fox 5, one of our buddies, tweeted me, at Grant H. Paulson. You guys can watch him. Does a great job in the mornings over on Fox. He said, if Miami knows what Tua can do and is still willing to pass on him for Watson, smart money just goes after Watson. The part of that I'm going to take away is they've got the most valuable thing you can have in football, which is a quarterback on a rookie contract. And they're willing to get out of that business.
Oh, yeah.
For a guy you have to extend. Remember, the whole reason he wanted out of Houston before he got in trouble. By the way, you're bringing in a guy who may or may not get in major legal trouble and is dealing with harassment allegations.
Yeah, who knows?
They're jumping into those waters, getting out of the unbelievable asset of the rookie contract money. They're not doing that because they think Tua is awesome.
That's right. They're not sitting there going, no, we got our guy, thanks.
Let's go to David in D.C. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love the show, as always.
Thanks, bud.
Honestly, you know, I'm like Danny in that I'm very desperate to fix that position, and I would absolutely do it, assuming that it was something similar to the Darnold deal, especially because the quarterback crop this year especially is very, very weak. There's no consensus guy. Maybe they're saying Malik Willis had a liberty, but he'll be, you know, way out of range. And so even if it doesn't work out, they'll be positioned to, you know, draft another one in 2023, hoping that that crop gets better. But I would just take a shot at him. Absolutely.
Appreciate you, dude. Again, I think everyone's got their eyes wide open here about what he is right now. Right? Don't you? I mean, maybe there's an occasional caller that's going to read off a stat line and sort of, you know, make excuses for why it hasn't gone well at this stage. But we can't acknowledge that it's gone well. As somebody just correctly said, he's not available because everything is going hunky-dory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's clearly a wrinkle.
I just
there's clearly
everyone
problems.
With their eyes wide open, with their draft pick still intact. That's all I'm looking for here. Gus in Alexandria. Hey, Gus.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I've been going back and forth since I've been on hold because I was for it because, you know, try something. But now, you know, his mechanics, his injury history. I'm only for it if Scott Turner is in love with him. And if maybe we can do like a third conditional so that it becomes a 2-4 if he plays like a certain percentage of snaps this season. That's the only way I do it.
Well, that's interesting. Kind of like what Indy did with Carson Wentz and stuff in order to take him on.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Reich had helped win a Super Bowl with Carson Wentz. There's a little history there, if you remember. So,
no, but just the idea is more appealing where it's like it reverts back to just a 3 if he stinks and we bench him when we cut him. Or I mean, if he plays well, then
Turner
we win.
Turner had his pick with Heinicke. He had his pick with Allen. I'm good on whatever that is.
I was going to say.
Maybe we should just get better quarterbacks, not guys that coaches are tight with.
Not crappy guys that are available.
Kyle Shanahan brought Rex Grossman wherever he went. Like, I got a better idea. Let's find quarterbacks who are good at being quarterbacks.
Different ways to do it.
Damon's in Suitland. What's up, man?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, look, we should just be patient and wait to draft Pickett from out of Pittsburgh. Or look on the bright side. It'd be more of a rivalry with Philadelphia because, remember, Tua took Jalen Hurts' spot in Alabama.
Right.
So, I don't want it because Tua is better and beaten. And
but it would be cool to have the quarterback. The Alabama tandem.
Yeah, and then there's another left-handed quarterback. You know how that is. That's a little bit shaky. And doesn't look great, man. It doesn't look great. I thought you was going to say something like Jacoby Brissett or something was going to come, but Tua, nah.
I'd rather have Jacoby Brissett, actually.
Did you know that Dwayne Haskins beat out Joe Burrow at Ohio State?
I had not heard that.
You ever hear that?
I'm kind of doing a bit about Jacoby Brissett, but not really. Because here's why. At least people know Jacoby Brissett's a backup and wouldn't pretend. The Tua thing, you know, we got to hear about how he threw for 350 yards once when he lost by 30 in week 16 against a team that was sitting some of their starters. Like, at least people get that Jacoby Brissett's just, he's like Heinicke and Allen and Fitz. You can weigh in if you want, 800-636-1067. We're going to give away the Wizards tickets at the end of the show. So we'll give them away end of the 6 o'clock segment, about 6:20 or so. Make sure you're listening here on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The hard part right now is the guys that we have are inexperienced, and they're guys that will grow and develop. You know, I think what Taylor's now started is 7 or 8 games, something like that. And it's really just about him growing and developing in our situation. So we'll continue to work with him. You know, thought he's done some good things. You know, he didn't have a good outing last week. He knows it. He's working on it to get better this week, and you know, we'll continue to see how it goes.
That's Ron Rivera. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to The Fan. Stretch run here, taking you to about 6:30 on this Wednesday. We're 3 weeks into October. Craig Hoffman comes your way with overtime tonight. Wizards in action, first time this season. They open their calendar with the Toronto Raptors a little over an hour from now, citing that they'll be back at it. Capitals just started their year. Nats getting ready for their offseason plans. Hopefully they're putting together an outline and a blueprint to add some talent and spend some money. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Indeed. I'm fascinated by the Nationals offseason, by the way. What a crossroads they're at. If you overspend and you end up without Strasburg and Corbin being good, you're screwed. If you underspend and those guys do bounce back, then, again, you're kind of screwed. They are in a bizarre position where so much salary is committed to those two guys and they need so much out of them that they just didn't get.
We got a pair of tickets to see the Wizards take on the Pacers Friday night, Capital One Arena. We're giving away at the end of the show, end of the segment, about 19, 20 minutes away. So make sure you're listening then. All right, let's run through all of the news of the day. It's been a bountiful day on the news front, particularly in Ashburn, where the Washington football team is getting ready for the Green Bay Packers. Quick reminder, your boy's going to Lambeau. I will be there. If you are going to Green Bay, the historic Lambeau Field, make sure you plan on Friday, if you're there, to come by Hinterland Brewery. That's where I'm going to be hanging out. And I'll be doing the show with Danny live from Hinterland. you'll be back here.
I'm here, yeah.
But I will be at the brewery.
That's awesome, man. That's such a cool trip you're taking.
Yeah, I'm excited. I went there once covering the team on the beat. Was so busy that I didn't really get to do anything. So I'm actually hoping that Friday before the show, I'm going to try to do a tour of Lambeau Field if I can pull it off. Still trying to iron out some details on that, but I think it could be neat. Dustin Hopkins was released today. The timing, pretty fascinating. He was not kicking well in August. They didn't even bring anyone in to compete with him. Then he struggled in the preseason. Going into the regular season, Ron Rivera stood by him. He missed a kick against the Giants that could have been costly, that didn't count. Ron Rivera said he's his guy. He missed two extra points against the Falcons in a game in which they trailed by two before they got a field goal range touchdown late where he would have had to kick for the win. Would have been really, really anxiety-inducing, and Ron Rivera said it's not a problem. And then 3 weeks and eight kicks and seven makes later when he seemed to have gotten his act together, Ron Rivera decided today that Dustin Hopkins needed to be released.
Well, I just think, you know, going into week seven after having gone through, you know, the first six, that it was time. You know, there were a couple opportunities that, you know, that we had opportunities to score and we didn't. And, you know, you'd like to be more consistent that way.
He and Brandon Scherff, I think, might have been like the longest tenured players on the team. So he's gone now. And you'd say, well, no big deal. They'll bring in a kicker who's had some success. They're going to Chris Blewett from West Potomac High School locally, who has never kicked a field goal in an NFL game. Has no Pro Football Reference stats.
Yeah, kicked at Pitt in 2016.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah. So I in all sincerity, because he's local and because he kicks for the WFT, I hope he does great. To me, that doesn't matter. If he makes every kick, if he misses every kick, what matters is this process was awful. If they luck box their way into a consistent kicker just by this guy falling under their noses, and it turns out that he's great, even though I think he was like 10 for 17 his last year at Pitt, but that was like 5 years ago. If it happens, if it works out, everyone will say, in your face, see, they made the right call. No. There's a process. Process matters. Things matter or they don't. Words matter or they don't. Competition was supposed to be happening. You didn't do that at two huge spots that were both awful last year. I'm not asking you to bring in someone to compete with Jonathan Allen, who's a stud. I'm asking you, at the quarterback spot, which was wretched last year, you told us you wanted to compete. You didn't. This kicker position, they were bad last year, even though Hopkins had a nice end of the season, but still, they were underperforming at that spot. Where was my competition? Free agency, draft, whatever, nothing. Training camp, nothing. Mini camp, nothing. Preseason, nothing. Now you get a guy, waiver wire Willie is available. Now we go down this road. So upsetting to me.
As you can imagine, though, the question came up. Hey, you moved on from this guy, and you're going to someone with no experience when there are very experienced, longtime successful NFL kickers out there. Why him?
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys out there with a lot of experience right now. And we had brought Chris in before, and Chris and did the same thing in the workout he did before. You know, he I think he only missed one, it was over a 50-yarder, I think, at both of his trials that he had. That's how consistent he was. He kicks the ball off relatively deep. He kicked one yesterday into the wind. We didn't have him kick with the wind. We had him kick into the wind. He kicked one into the wind that had about 4.5 second hang time and was about 7 yards deep. So we know he's got a strong leg for kickoff. So we felt pretty good about that. You know, and again, as I said, it was, you know, it was my decision, and you know, I own that.
Josh Lambeau is the most accurate kicker in Jags history. Was just cut this week. Made some struggles, who's 30 years old and been kicking in the league since 2015 when Dustin Hopkins broke into the league. I think he was with the Chargers at that time. Also today, in talking about Landon Collins, Ron Rivera saying they're going to use him. Now, he didn't necessarily use the word linebacker. Kind of went out of his way not to, but he keeps saying in the box, coming downhill. That's how they think he's at his best. That's how they want to put him in position to thrive. He talked to Landon Collins. Collins told him he wants to be a safety. He is a safety. He likes playing safety. But sounds like Rivera wants to start to get him used to the idea of maybe being closer to the action.
You watched the way he played last week. You watched the things that he did, his physicality, the plays he helped make in the game. And as I said the other day, he has a good role. And the role we used him in is, I think, something we feel very strongly about his abilities. You know, he's a downhill attacking style of player, and we got to make sure we're putting him in position to have success for us. A great example was when they ran that reverse. He was down in the box. He saw it coming. He got outside the contain, turned it back inside, and was part of the pileup that helped create the takeaway. And those are the things that, you know, he flashes and shows that he's capable of doing. That's why, you know, going into last week's game, based on the matchups, we felt strongly about playing him up in the box.
This I like a lot. They're stuck with Landon Collins. I know technically they could just take a big, huge dead cap hit, and there's not much upside to doing that, honestly. You're just creating dead cap for the sake of creating dead cap. I don't think Landon Collins is any good. In fact, I'm positive he can't do safety. I think he could be okay in this part-time role, wearing certain packages. Now, if it's a first down against the team, there aren't many left. But let's say the Cowboys see him out there on a first down. You know, they might somehow go jumbo and have a pulling guard knock him stiff, you know, 10 yards deep into the secondary, and Zeke Elliott rumbles for a huge gain. Okay. But in spots, in certain packages and things, I think he can absolutely be a useful player if deployed in the correct way. Let's no longer do the thing where we just trot guys out there just because that's what they did before. He's overpaid. You're stuck with him. So make use of it. I like this an awful lot.
Yeah, I want to know how the usage varies now in the weeks ahead. Because he did play a lot of, whether they want to call it linebacker or not, like box line of scrimmage looks the last couple of weeks as it was. But there are still times where he's the deep man. And we notice it when he gets beat for a touchdown. We don't notice it when they run the ball out of that look or he does the right thing and they throw it somewhere else. But he's occasionally in the end zone on a Hail Mary or deep safety when they throw the 70-plus yard touchdown. In the Saints game where he had a miscommunication with William Jackson. Is he still going to be at safety sometimes? Is he going to be a full-time, quote-unquote, linebacker? I just don't know what's going to change, really. Today, to me, was a chance for Rivera to say, guys, I'm listening. Like, I know. I get it. You want some urgency. Maybe he needs to do less listening to everybody. I don't know.
I don't know what to do.
I could be off base. I think cutting a kicker was kind of throwing a bone to people who want to just see something done to show that he's not going to sit there and wear it for the rest of the season and just let the losses pile up. And I kind of have the same vibe for this Landon Collins comment. He knows
that's interesting.
That fans are livid about the performance and this guy, and he's the lightning rod. It's like, well, what's the difference? He's probably not going to be here next year. If I ruffle his feathers, not the end of the world. I'm going to throw them this bone and say, yeah, he's at his best as a linebacker. I don't know. You shouldn't really be that reactionary, and maybe I'm giving too much credit to outside noise, but it feels like that's kind of what today was.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore that. I mean, you know, the other side would be the things that people are observing, whether that's fans or smart analysts, whoever it is, were correct. I mean, it isn't hard to see Landon Collins trailing on that long Harris touchdown last week against New Orleans. It's not hard to see that guy is not good in space. If he's got to run a long distance, it's not going to work out very well for you. So there is part of that where it's, hey, let's put our guys in the best possible spots. But I'm also with you in the sense that you can't bench everybody. You can't bench Jamin Davis, William Jackson, you know, the six other guys because it ain't working. You can't bench the whole defense. You could do this to show that it matters to you, not just going to accept it anymore.
I'm not sure that I would consider this today's news from the Washington football team. But this analysis from Logan Paulson, to me, was one of the big moments of the show today. It really speaks to his acumen and how smart he is at studying the film. Logan doesn't like what he's seeing right now conceptually from the Washington football team offense. Here's what he had to say.
Sometimes when I see him calling plays, I just see kind of an unimaginative offense. Like when I watch the LA Rams, for example, they really work hard to scheme guys open. They do a good job. Sean does a good job of finding ways to get guys open. Same thing with Kyle up in San Francisco. And so when I watch this offense, I see a guy who's calling his offense. He's not necessarily trying to speak to the personnel that's on the field.
That kind of jives with a lot of fans and myself included, frustration. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to use the right words to say, it just looks like they're not doing anything. I see other teams throwing deep, or I see other teams with these deep intermediate routes, or that like 12 to 20 yard box seems to be open for a lot of groups, and they can move the football, get yards after the catch, and they're field position changing plays and big offense. I don't see that here. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's Heineke. I don't know if it's play calling. I don't know if Dalmy Brown can't do it. I just don't know. So Logan Paulson's analysis sort of rings true and kind of validates what I think a lot of fans are feeling.
Yeah. Well, and this is a guy who doesn't just watch the film as, you know, we do as fans or whatever. I mean, he's looking at this from the perspective of having played in the league for over a decade and
for
played
some
in
great
some
minds.
Elite offenses, right? Some really, like, number one ranked in the NFL in Washington, MVP quarterback year for Matt Ryan when they went to the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, all coaches who have been in NFC championship games or coached in Super Bowls. And he gets offense. I mean, he really does. So it means something to me when he talks about it. He also said he feels like, and he did admit that this could be because maybe he's trying to mask some deficiencies of Heinicke, or, you know, he's coaching with what he's got right now at quarterback. But he said it seems like Scott Turner's regressing some from what he saw in, like, last year.
It might be because he doesn't have a ton of confidence in Heinicke. He doesn't have a ton of confidence in the playmakers. And it's kind of forcing him back into a more conservative shell, because it was the same kind of thing last year, too. Not until they had a consistent starter at quarterback did the offense start opening up a little bit. And Alex Smith was at the helm, and maybe he felt more comfortable with that. But I just see people throw the word regression around. I just don't see – I think he's regressed a little bit in terms of how aggressive and how creative he's being. I think he can grow out of that. I think that's in his skill set, because he showed it a little bit last year, but it doesn't seem to be trending that way at the moment.
It's funny to think about, by the way, real quick. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. The idea of the offense opened up with Alex Smith. It just seems – it's just a funny turn of a phrase. I know what he means. Like, they're actually doing some things. Of course, Alex Smith just turns those down and checks it down at all times, always. But it just kind of a struck me there as a little bit odd.
Absolutely. He didn't mean this as the observation when he said, and I don't remember the exact phrasing, but basically that they've been more conservative or not as exotic. But I just anecdotally mentioned, like, where is the fun stuff, like the trick stuff that they did last year? And it's a handful of plays all year long. I mean, it's not like they ran them every single week. But, you know, right now Logan Thomas is hurt. A lot of their gadgets might go through him. Maybe that's part of the problem. But last year he was in motion and went in front of the quarterback and took a snap from under center and just plowed forward for a first down. You saw him throw a pass last year as a college quarterback who's now a tight end. Maybe that opens some pages in the playbook back up when he comes back. But I just remember the J.D. McKissick fumble Ruski play that Ron Rivera said they got from Little Giants. I mean, they did some things last year that were way off script, so to speak. You just haven't seen much of that this season, which, you know, you kind of wonder why that is, as Logan's saying that they've scaled some things back, it feels like. The last thing I'll bring up as far as the WFT, and what a day. I mean, just running through all this again.
Yeah, how about it, man?
There's
wow.
So much going on. These rumors that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be on the trade block, and people are linking Washington to Miami. One guy saying three-team trade. I'm going to just throw that to the side and say that's not a thing right off the bat. But folks, and I understand. I mean, they don't have a quarterback of the future here. This guy was drafted in the top five. They were in the market trying to trade for Matt Stafford this offseason. So if Tua becomes available, you'd think Washington's one of the teams that will come up in those conversations. I'm going to point out again that I was in contact with someone over in Ashburn, and they said this is ridiculous and not a thing, and don't put any credence or stock in these rumors. So take that for what it's worth, but it sounds like they're shooting this down at the facility right now based on the person that I talked to. Let's go to Matt in Austin on Grant and Danny. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Danny, love the rant at the beginning of the show.
Hey, thanks, bud.
I'm just catching up on the Odyssey app here. But I believe that Tua's not of interest to the Washington football team. Please pick a plural noun. Today. But man, I would love to get Tyrod in here. I tweeted you guys, hashtag Grant and Danny yesterterday with five different tiers of, you know, there's a lot of talk about we need a quarterback, let's get a quarterback, but there's, you know, the acquisition cost and the quality of the player, is different in a lot of different scenarios. So that's, I broke five tiers down. I'm curious, you know, what your ideal scenario is. But you know, as it has to do with Tua and Deshaun, give me Tyrod.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Taylor's actually played okay last couple of stops, and injuries have kind of belied him. But I mean, there have been other stops. I'm thinking more when he's been on the field for extended periods.
Sure, sure.
Like Buffalo comes to mind when they made the playoffs. I really liked what I saw start of the year at Houston. Not a starter, though, and I'm not interested in that anymore.
Yeah, I don't ever want to do the caretaker Fitzpatrick Tyrod Taylor tier ever again.
I didn't want Fitzpatrick for that reason. Yeah. I wouldn't want Tyrod for that reason. I don't want Andy Dalton next year for that. Like, no. No. Either do the Heinicke and Allen thing until the cows come home, or try to get a real starter that's a top-tier guy, either by way of trade or the draft. Like, those are my plans. That's kind of it. That's where I'm at. I'm not just throwing picks at a guy because he went in the top five who hadn't played well. Chris and Brandywine, what's up?
Oh, boy. I don't know about you guys, but I think that Danny is back. I wonder if Rivera got chewed out in Potomac or if he got chewed out at Ashburn and all these changes are starting to happen. I'm thinking that Tua thing might happen. Because,
oh, so
I mean,
you think he got called on the carpet?
He got called to the principal's
he's
office?
He's cutting people and changing people's positions?
It looks very familiar.
Oh, boy.
It looks very familiar. He says he's gone, but he's still there. He just got a nice little beard and some nice khakis on.
We know he's got a hoodie. He wore little... the picture with the Taylor family.
Absolutely. So, he's the one that listens to the radio. He's the one that always has his ear to the grindstone. And he's tired of hearing people talk about Sean Taylor's thing and then blaming him for everything.
You know, you got your tinfoil hat on as you're making that call.
He's picking up a signal, though, I'll tell you what.
The crazier things you have happened.
Is it two whales or is it Soviet communication?
The bad thing for Snyder, I guess, if he isn't involved in some of this stuff, is because of his past, it's totally above board and just reasonable to always assume and wonder. You know what I mean?
That's like, exactly the right way to put it.
Here's the best comp I can give you. When I was a little kid, I mean really, really young, okay? I would, like, anytime we played a game as a family, we would go outside and throw the football or basketball or whatever. I was a terrible sport. I was a sore loser. I would push and shove my brothers when we'd get into it, or I'd start, you know, I'd take my ball and go home or if I'm losing or whatever. Like, to this day, swear to God, if we get together as a family, I'm 33 with two kids. It, you know, as soon as we're playing a game or whatever, my sister, one of my brothers will reference like, oh, Grant's going to get, you know, like I'm seven still.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense.
And like, I just have to sit there as a 33-year-old adult who doesn't care at all.
And just take it.
And just be like, haha, funny guys.
It's hilarious.
It's not that funny. It's been 25 years. But like, if you're Dan, you made this bet, dude. So we have to always wonder.
Yeah, I got no sympathy for him
always
at all.
Always assume. Let's go to Ron in Loudoun. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, guys. Listen, I'm not saying that Tua is the next great thing, but we are in quarterback hell, and we've been there for years. So this is what I would suggest. Try to trade for Tua. I'm not an RG3 type trade, but a conditional pick trade. Because if they get Watson, they're not going to want to keep Tua. So they're going to want to get rid of him. So go ahead and try to get Tua, but don't just stop with Tua. Draft a quarterback also, because I've been looking, and we have the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. You can't find any team that has the worst quarterback situation than this squad.
Now let me think about that. I disagree with that off the top.
So the only couple places that come to mind: Houston, which does because they don't have, they won't have Deshaun Watson.
Detroit has a worse one. Goff's terrible, and they pay him a lot of money to be terrible.
They're stuck with Goff.
That's worse.
But they'll end up with a top three pick, probably. But nobody any good is going to be there.
Mean that they solve it. Worst point quarterback is, situation.
I think Washington's on the podium. Last year they were worse.
Miami's is bad.
Yeah,
I mean we're talking about they're trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. It's not because they have a good one. Pittsburgh's is worse. Pittsburgh pays Ben a lot of money, and they need to bench him, and they can't. And their backups they don't trust, or else they would have already been playing.
Yeah, being stuck with a guy that stinks.
Would you rather start Big Ben or Taylor Heineke this weekend? I'd rather start Taylor Heineke.
Roethlisberger by a nose.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's just cooked.
He's definitely cooked. He's not good.
Yeah, I mean, at least Heineke can move. I think if Mike Tomlin had some truth serum and he could either have Heineke for nothing and start him in 2 weeks when he gets him up to speed, or Ben, he's bringing in Heineke.
Oh, man.
That could be crazy. Tennessee, Indianapolis. Houston's got a bad quarterback situation.
They're in the bad way. It's a lot of Davis. It's more Davis Mills than you'd want.
Which is any?
It's a lot more.
Oh, man. Let's see. But, yeah, I mean, the point is there's a bucket of teams that don't have their quarterback.
Right. Washington's in the conversation.
We're one of the crabs in the bucket. And when it's like we're pinching each other, keeping each other down when someone tries to climb out. Just pinching at each other's pinchers. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's tell you what we learned today on G&D. What did we learn today? Driven by your local Honda dealer, racing for a great deal on the Honda of your dreams during the Honda Dream Garage event. Take advantage of the savings and see your local Honda dealer today.
Logan Paulson is awesome on the radio. So here's what I learned about Logan Paulson. He gave a great breakdown of Scott Turner, and you got to check it out on the Odyssey app, grantandandy.com. Check out all the podcasts for that when we're all done here. But here's what I learned. Logan Paulson, Pokemon guy. Logan Paulson, Pokemon guy. And he sandbagged when you were like, I'm going to name a Pokemon with like a couple attributes. He's like, I don't know. And then he just named whatever the Pokemon was that like had blaze ability but was weak against rocks. I was amazed by that. He knows everything about Pokemon.
I learned that the Wizards are going to have a 10-man rotation to start the year.
Wes Unseld said so, yeah.
Pretty deep. Wes Unseld Jr. says his rotation 9 or 10 deep. First few games at least, he's got his game plan. They're ready to tip off the season a little over a half hour from right now. Speaking of the Wizards, we got a pair of tickets for you right now. You've got to know which Wizard we had on the show last year right after he was acquired via trade. And Danny correctly guessed which dog he had. And I'll give you a big old juicy hint. He might take you out to dinner soon because he just got a lot of money.
He got paid.
You know the answer to that question? 800-636-1067 is the number. Call in now. Talk to Ryan. Tell him the answer. You can win a pair of tickets. The Wizards, home opener, Pacers. Friday night, you'll be there. Capital One Arena, October 22nd. Tip at 7 p.m. Courtesy of Monumental Sports, first 10,000 fans inside the building. Get a DC rally towel and a regular season schedule. Mouse pad, pretty cool. For the complete Wizards schedule and to purchase tickets, visit NBA.com/Wizards. Our guy, Craig Hoffman, in the saddle on overtime, comes your way next, right here on The Fan.
Bring me Tua so Grant's head explodes!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.